Amen. Did you invite me up, Carrie?
I did.
Good. I was talking to Pam, and I didn't hear you. Yeah. Oh, good morning. Good morning. Hey, love y'all. Love y'all. One time, what was that? Oh, thank you. One time I said that to someone, it says, man, I love you. And they looked at me and they says, why? Now, being the goofball that I am, I looked at him and I said, well, let me think about it. And a long pause. And I said, well, you know, I don't know why. Maybe I don't love you. And, of course, we had a good laugh. But, hey, is love something that is a result of someone else's activity? That they're doing things or who they are and your relationship with them, and that's why you love them? I mean, is love a type of thing that you just love someone because they love you or they do good to you or they're a friend to you? No, the love of God is something different than that. In fact, it's something that has to do with a cause and effect. And we talked about that last week. That verse in your notes, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. That is the result of you loving. As you begin to recognize His love for you. And there's something of a dynamic that begins to take place in your life. A born-again experience. And then something, I don't know how to say it, you just begin to ooze His love. It's something that just begins to happen in your life. I had kind of a picture that I want to describe to you. A guy in swim trunks. And he is walking in the snow on a trail. And it's 7 below 0. He is miserable. And so he's looking for something to satisfy that misery inside of himself. And he sees a shining thing and he thinks, oh, that'll be warmth. And so he goes to that shiny thing and he sits on it and it's even colder than he feels cold. But it looked like it would be good. He's in swim trunks, did I tell you? Visualize that. Don't visualize me in a swim trunk. Anyway, visualize that. And so he's in the, and so he gets up and he's so cold and his hands are turning blue. And he sees a glow. And he goes over there and it's a fire. Finally, he has found what he's looking for. Someone has built a fire. And it looks so good and inviting. And he steps off the trail and he gets in close to the fire and he feels the warmth of the flames. Oh, it feels so good. It just feels so good. But it's not satisfying to him. Because as the warmth is coming here, his backside is getting cold. So he turns around and warms this up. And but then his front gets cold and it's not quite like he thought it would be. It's not as satisfying as he thought it would be. Did I tell you he's got swim trunks on? And that's all he's got on. And he just finds himself freezing. He warms up his hands a little bit and he puts on his backside. And finally he says, well, the answer must be I got to sit in that fire. And so he sits in the fire. And he burns himself. He jumps up and he realizes this is not for me. And he walks away with a hole in his pants, his trunk. Don't visualize that now. So he's walking on the trail. He's freezing again, looking for what will satisfy him. He's rubbing his hands. They're turning blue again. and he just can't stand it. And he sees some steam, and he walks a little further, and up at the end of the trail, there's this beautiful, big pool, and it's a hot spring. And there's a trail that goes by that, but he's smarter than that. He gets into the hot spring, and he submerges himself into that hot spring, and his whole body becomes warm. And it feels so good, and he realizes, hey, this is what I was made for with my swim trunks. And even with the hole in the pants, it's just so satisfying. He sees his wife coming by. She's blue. She's got a swimsuit on. Her name is Pamela. And he sees her and he notices there's a burnt spot on her rear end. And he says, honey, come here. Come here. And he reaches out to her and he says, take my hand. And she touches his hand and she says, oh, you're so warm. And he invites her in to the pool, and she gets warm. And people passing by, they go, hey, come here. This is it. You're dressed for this. This is why you're made. Come on in. And some do and some don't. That is the Christian life. And some people never find the hot spring in their life. And that is the love of Jesus that begins to permeate you. That when people see you and fellowship with you, they think, oh, you're such a loving person. But you weren't always that way. And the only reason that you're a loving person is because you're immersed in that hot spring. And the warmth of Jesus has created something in you that they see that warmth. They shall know you are my disciples if you love one another. There is something about this love that is so dynamic and powerful that it will draw other people, that they'll see something in you. But here's the problem. How do you get that? Let me tell you how you don't get it. You don't get it by the law. And you don't get it by someone telling, well, you just need to love. That's like tell someone who their life falling apart, well, just be joyful. You can't make someone be joyful. It's got to come from the inside. You can't do it on the outside. And this kind of stuff, you can't do on the outside. But he tells us that here's love, not that we love God, but that he loves us. And he begins to manifest or to make clear to us, I'm in review right now from last week, he begins to make clear to us how this love all begins, by the love of God. And he makes clear to us and he tells us that God sent his only son. It wasn't someone that he picked out that was born. Well, that looks like a good person. Mary's a good person. No, no. He gave his son, an eternal being, one with God. Such love that he gave his son. He sent his son into the world. And then it says, again, he sent his son, in the same verse, or maybe the next verse, he sent his son to be the propitiation for your sin. Now, a bad way to explain that would be that it appeases God. But it's far more than that. But that's kind of an idea. It appeases God. Jesus dying for us. His death, his burial, the completion of his resurrection. He appeased God. Now it's more than that, because it's not the ancient beliefs where you had to give your child and throw him into a pit of fire or give to an animal to be eaten to appease the gods. But it's a little more different than that. It's a little more powerful than that. You see, God, our God, the one and only God, is perfect in every way. And he's perfect in his love. But our God is a just God. And let me tell you, you want a just God. you look around the world and you say, well, man, there's not much justice going on. I know there's a ruler in this earth, and it's called Satan. And he's going around and killing and destroying and causing havoc. And it was a result of man sinning. And it shows how broken that the world is from our sins. How broken the world. Let me tell you, we don't realize how broken it is. We want to blame everyone. We want to blame Obama. We want to blame Trump. We want to blame Hillary. We want to blame the pastor. We have a lot of blame that we want to throw around, but the bottom line, this world is broken. Jesus died for the world to begin to put things back, the pieces back together again. And that's what he's doing in your life and in my life. And in the crux of it all is his love that we begin to love. I mean, he begins this whole thought in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And what he wants to happen in our life, that how God loves his son and his son loves God, that we're to love the same way. You know, Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John. He said, Father, I pray, now get this, I pray that you love them like you love me. Jesus prayed that. Perfect Jesus, the very Son of God. Father, I pray that you love them like you love me. Oh my. I mean, do you realize how powerful that is? Now, some of you don't believe that God answered that prayer, that the Father answered the Son's prayer. Now, let me say it again. The prayer was, Father, love them like you love me. Love them like you love me. Do you believe that God answered that prayer? See, some of you don't believe that. Some of you look at yourself and you see your sinfulness, and I'm glad that you see that. I think it's important that you see that. It's important that you see the brokenness in the world. But don't blame God. And don't blame the guy that did evil towards you, or the woman that did evil towards you, or the parent that abused you. Don't blame me. Look at yourself and say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus Christ. And in that, he can begin to put things back together because God is love. He says that. God is love. And he wants to do something here. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. We love because he first loved us. We love because we got into that pool and how we're created, and we had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that warmth of that hot springs began to permeate our lives. But you got to know. You got to understand that. And so we pursue our whole life in the Word of God about who He is. And how much he loves us. I know some of you are stuck in the Old Testament. And you're looking at a God, it seems like a God who was angry. And a God who came down and destroyed nations. And you don't even see his grace and his mercy. I mean, it all began with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve who sinned. You know, you want to kick their butts for doing that. Because we're all in a mess now. But now, wait a minute. Look at God's response. He said, Adam, where are you? It's not like he didn't know where Adam was. I mean, he knows everything. Why did he ask that? Well, he wanted to see if Adam knew where he was. And he got kind of a good idea. Well, you know, we're ashamed. We're naked and ashamed. Oh, how'd you know you're naked? How'd you know that? And they come down and come, well, that woman that you, God, you're the blame. That woman that you gave me, she made me eat. All men are just like that, aren't they? Pat Kelly, you know. Anyway. What did God do? The very first thing. He showed grace to them. They had put these fig leaves, you know, to cover themselves. He killed an animal and clothed them. God clothed him. It wasn't that he didn't love him, but he didn't care about him, but he's a just God. And he could not have a relationship with them, but he showed grace to them and clothed them and put them out of the garden. He wanted to have a relationship. And then from that point on, the plan, of course he knows everything, the plan was eternity ago, but the plan to save man. And if you understand his love, when you begin to read the Old Testament, you begin to see these things. And even when you read the law, you realize that, well, there, it's a loving God that gives me these things. But how can I truly get it that he loves me? The pursuit of that. Paul said, man, I have not arrived. And so what I do is I strive to know him. This is the end of his life. I strive to know him. Who are we not to do that very thing? And we got to pursue this God and pursue to know him. And I'm talking to Christians. I want to know that and have that relationship with him, because there's something that happens. Life begins to fall into place when you see his love for you. It doesn't fall into place for anything. I don't care if you're a young woman who's going to get married, Maria. And at a young age, Maria had a dream of this Prince Charming that would come along and would save her and would help her and would kneel before her and say, would you marry me, please? And beg and beg and beg. And that when they get married, they'll live happily ever after. They'll have no more problems. Just be wonderful. Yeah, you should be laughing at that, but because we know that that's not the case. It doesn't happen that way. Because there is our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ where we somehow, some way, we get close enough to him that we begin to overflow. Now, can I tell you, and I covered this last week so you can listen to the online, but your born-again experience doesn't do that for you. It just doesn't. It does change you, and you begin to have a desire that you didn't have before, but you've got to know and believe. We studied that last week. You've got to know and believe. You've got to know who he is, what he's like, what he's done for you, and the depths of what he's done for you, and you begin to grow in that. And as you grow in his love, there's something that begins to drive you in a love for God and a love for other people. You begin to love people. And they could ask you, well, why do you love me? And you might not even have an answer, just something that oozes in your life. You just love people. I mean, Jesus was that way. I mean, if there was anything that Jesus liked to do, he liked to be with people. The perfect Jesus. And it wasn't the people that just liked him. He loved to get with people who didn't even think about him. He liked to get with people who were just messed up. They were prostitutes and drunkards and some of those religious people. They looked at him and they said that Jesus, look, he eats with the wine bibbers. He's just a wino himself. And why did he do that? Because his life was full of love. He loved being with people. Is that part of your life? Is that what, or do you just like being with people that like you? That's not love. That's like. You really like them. You like who they are. You like the things about them, but you don't love them. Because when you have love, you begin to love everyone. You begin to care about them. And how is that translated? Look at Jesus in his love. It wasn't just a feeling. I mean, he oozed love because he came from the Father. He began to do things for people. You know, one of the first things that he did when he started his ministry, he goes to a wedding. Now, wedding, is your wedding important to you? I don't need to ask that, do I? Stephen, it's not a trick question. Okay, Maria, is your wedding important to you? Yeah, absolutely. And that woman that was getting married and that man that Jesus went to the wedding, why did he do that? Because here were some people that were starting their whole life together, living together, and he wanted to participate with that. And then his mom comes along, hey, Jesus, they don't have some wine, and you know the story. They don't have wine. Hey, take care of it, would you? And Jesus turns the water into wine. How did that come about? Well, he wanted to be there at the wedding. He loved people so much, he wanted to participate. What holds us back? Your sin nature, your selfishness, just that part of you that we have to fight daily in our life, that we're living for ourselves. And we need to pursue God to know Him, and He begins to do something in our life that begins to change us, to affect us. And you know, it's that scripture that I have there in verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen cannot love God. Who loves his brother who he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I mean, such a direct statement. If you say you love God and you don't like people, you're a liar, he says. No, I wouldn't say that. I'm just quoting Bible. God said that. You're a liar. The truth is not in you. So what? How do we get there? Well, first of all, I think we need to be honest and not live in denial. We're self-centered. And I think we need to confess that to God every time you see yourself, and you don't see yourself very often, probably, that you're self-centered. But every time that you see yourself, I tell you, there was one rainy day, I'm not going to tell you the circumstance because I'm too embarrassed now. But I didn't do something that I should have done to help somebody, and I was just in a hurry. I'm a busy man. And I didn't do what I should have done, and God so pointed that out. Hey, Dave, I brought that person along so you could minister. Oh, man. You know, it's like, God, give me another chance. Just give me another chance. We need a face that we're self-centered. We need a face that your anger towards people and your attitudes toward people, it just, that has to do with you. It doesn't have anything to do with them and how they are. Because that person that seems ugly to you, Jesus loves them and gave his life for them. Those very ones that would curse his name, those hard to get along people, those people who are stinkers, Jesus loved them. And who are you to remove yourself? No, you need to face, hey, I'm just self-centered. Well, they've hurt me enough. I'm not going to put myself in that situation again. I'm not going to let them hurt me again. Now, I've offended people by saying this, so let me say it again. If you're hurt by people, that has to do with you, not with the people that hurt you. Can you see Jesus? I mean, they nailed him to the cross. They beat his back like it looked like hamburger. They put the thorns on and pushed those thorns deep into his brow. He's bloody. He's bleeding. And what did he do? I've had enough of you people. You've hurt me enough. I just want anything to do with you. I came selflessly to give myself to you. And look at how you treat me. Do you see Jesus like that? No, it was all love. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgive them. So you that were offended, I guess I did it again. Bless your sweethearts. Now, when you begin to love people, you begin to do things for people. That's part of what Jesus did. He served them. And you remember what the Bible says? The greatest among you are those who would have it in your notes there. The greatest among you would be the servant of all. You serve them. Okay, before I get into that, oh boy. Oh boy. I said I was going to talk about this thing, so let me do it real quick. And D, it says, by this love, and then we'll come back to loving others. By this love, perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, a long time ago when I first started studying 1 John, it was like, well, that's out of place. He's talking about love, and he's talking about fear and punishment and stuff. And the light just did not come on. Let me tell you what happens. It's an amazing thing. In fact, David Gusick says about this word, there it says, by this is love perfected. He says this word is a little different than the other word, or the way it's set in this, because he says perfect love and talks about perfect, which means mature or complete. He says this is a little different, and it means, I think he says it twice, the same word twice. And so he says it is perfectly perfect. It is completely complete. It is perfectly perfect. This love is perfectly perfect, and this is the result of that. Now, what is he talking? What's the love that's perfected? You love God, and you love other people. And when that becomes perfect in your life, or you become mature, then it becomes perfectly perfect, and something, a dynamic takes place that is so amazing. You're not going to fear dying. You're not fear punishment. Punishment, God doesn't punish believers. He corrects them. Sometimes he disciplines them, but he doesn't punish you. And one of the reasons why we're so fearful of dying is, you know, what is that? Because you know yourself. Inside, deep down inside your conscience, you know you're self-centered. And you know you're a sinner. You know there's things that haven't been taken care of. There was a gentleman not too long ago that was dying, and he said, I just don't feel worthy. And he was it was at the last stages of his dying. And I wanted to say to him, well, buddy, you're not. You know, I wanted to tell him that you're only worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're only worthy because it's his love that's been poured out upon you. And he's been appeased by the blood of Jesus Christ that you've accepted. But he was feeling guilty about something. I don't know what it was. But when love is perfected, it is completely complete in you. And that means that you love others, you love God, and you're living your life for God and living your life for others. You don't fear the future. You don't fear the next day. You don't fear what men might do to you. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'm not there. I know. I'm not there either, totally and completely. I want it to be completely in me. But that's the Christian life. That when we realize that we're weak and frail and that we have sin and we're not mature like we should be, that's where Jesus comes in and he's touched with our infirmities, our weaknesses, our sins, and we come to him and he washes and cleanses, he forgives us. We feel that sense, and then we start off again afresh and anew in him. It's this incredible relationship. But the love that is perfected, you begin to serve each other. You begin to live for each other. That when you're thinking, you think of other people. You're not thinking about how something affects you. You're thinking about how it's going to affect other people. How does it affect your wife, your husband? How does it affect your children? How does it affect your church? The decisions that you're making, you begin to make decisions with the understanding, because you love them. Okay, how is it going to affect them? And when something evil happens to you and something bad happens to you, and when love is perfected, you think of other people. That was Jesus. I mean, that's what he did on the cross. That's why as he's hanging there and he's almost dead, he's talking to this thief. One rejects him, but the other says, hey, remember me. And he says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah, you're going to be with me. He's thinking of that guy at the darkest hour, just before he says it's finished. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? God was not appeased. He had to turn his head on his son. The son had never experienced that in his existence, which was eternity, the rejection of the father. But he did at that moment. And it was more than he could bear. And he died. His love toward us is amazing. And so we ought to love one another. Man, we ought to love. And when you see that you don't, you look at yourself and say, God, forgive me, I'm such a jerk. And you can even tell that person, they'll agree with you. You know, these kids are going. And the team, when we first got together, it's been a year ago, I think. Has it been a year? When we got together, what should be the theme for the year? And they said, serving. Let's serve each other. Let's teach the kids to serve. And so they're going to go to Mexico and serve. And but they're also going to learn along the way to serve. Hey, why don't y'all, the team, why don't you come on up? And we're gonna take the next. Oh no, excuse me. Not yet. We're gonna watch a video, and it's a long clip about a Moor. And then I'm gonna talk about this thing of serving each other as a team, and serving the people that they're gonna go and build a house for. So let's watch this. What you do for a family is just amazing. Just amazing. Hey, team, come on up. And we're going to pray for you. I'm so excited about them going and serving. And one of our responsibilities as leaders is to join the parents in helping their kids grow up and be disciplined and learn to love people and to surrender and submit. And they're going to be doing all that. One of the best times is the travel time. They're driving to Mexico. I don't know, 1,000-some miles. It's so exciting. 1,200 miles. 1,200 miles each way, so 2,400 miles. Stuck in a van together. They're all going to be stuck in a van together. Now, first of all, make sure you use deodorant. Make sure you use deodorant. Lily, did you? Anyway. And so one of the things that we've done in the past, we're going to do it this time, and some people hate it. They're not going to be able to sit who they
sit by who they want to. They have to draw out of a hat who they're going to sit next to and where they're going to sit. And everybody hates that until they start doing it. And then they realize that, well, Josiah is not that bad of a person. You know, I used to didn't like him, and now, you know, I kind of like the guy. Yeah. And but I kind of caught wind that you don't want to do that. Nah, 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 nah. Yeah, amen. That was a spiritual thing right there. You guys, this is going to be a life-changing experience if you'll allow God to do something in your life that's special. If you learn to love each other and learn to love that family, I'm telling you, you're going to change this family's life. Where we went, the time where we went, it was amazing. You come into this neighborhood, and most of the homes are out of cardboard. And you know how we have electricity and the wires? Well, they don't have it that way. All the wires are on the ground, and they're illegal. And so every once in a while, the policemen come by, and they rip up all the wire. And as soon as they rip it up and they leave, you see them stringing wire again, that they're getting electricity. I mean, we just don't comprehend how people live. Well, you're going to make it different for this family. They're going to have solid walls, a roof. They're going to have a security and such a wonderful feeling and appreciation they're going to have for you. But there's also something going to happen to you in your heart. I think for one thing, you're going to have more of appreciation what you have, because you have so much. How many of you walked to church this morning? No. They don't have cars like that. They walk, wherever they go, they walk. They don't have vehicles. I mean, we have so much, and we're so blessed. And you have more of appreciation for that. You have a better appreciation for each other and a love for each other. But this all has to do with your heart. All has to do is your heart fertile for more of God in your life as you go to touch a family. Why don't we pray for them and ask something of a miracle to take place as our kids go. And you guys, I love you so much. You don't need to bow yet. I love you so much. Church, I've just got to know you a little bit. His name is not church, but they call him church. It's Christian. It's a long story. And he's a very likable kid and easy to love. But just as I've got to know you just a little bit, you guys will get to know each other in a great way. And I hope that it will create in you a love for each other because of the love of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for those who are willing to follow your call to go in the whole world and preach the gospel. And Lord, we can't go to everywhere, but we can go somewhere. And as they're going to Mexico to be a witness, go with them. Your hand upon them. And Lord, as they travel, there'll probably be things of irritation for us. May you just melt them in love for each other as they serve each other. Father, your blessing upon them. And I pray that the family that they're going to go and minister to, that you would prepare their hearts, that they would be overwhelmed with such joy as young people think about someone other than themselves. And we thank you for that. Lord, your blessing upon them. We send them with an anointing, And a confidence, Lord, a confidence in you, a confidence to be a witness for you, that they would shine in an incredible way for the kingdom. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand real quick with me? Stand with me if you would. Do all of you have your money? I guess you must. Is there anyone that has too much money? Isaiah, do you have too much money? I'm surprised. Okay, so the reason why I say that, hey, you know what would be kind of neat? If you'd get out your wallet and put a 20 in there. You say, I don't have a 20. Okay, put a 10. You say, I don't have 10. Okay, put a 5. Well, I don't have a 5. Okay, well, ask Will for some money. And it'd be nice if you just went and shook their hand or give them a hug and give them a little money. Wouldn't that be nice? So they have a little extra so they can buy more for someone else? Yeah, sure. Anyway, hey, I love you guys. I'm excited for you. Yeah, grab a mic. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, amen. Amen. Amber really gets into it. Can you tell? All right. All right. Hey, you're dismissed. Love one another as you go. Have a great week. And you guys.